The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Frank Holland, and you're listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. Our show is live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern. Listen in. It is 5 a.m. here at CNBC Global Headquarters. I'm Frank Holland. Here is your 5 at 5. After its best week of the year, Wall Street waking up to some fresh pressure. One voting Fed head and a growing list of tech billionaires, they're thinking that stocks' record run, it may be topping out. Not swayed by the bears just yet, however, Goldman Sachs out with a new note over the weekend with the new mega bull case for stocks, driven in a very big way by big tech. And the crisis continues at Boeing, now facing new pressure from its largest workers union. Plus, Disney responds to Nelson Peltz's latest comments where he questioned Disney's casting decisions, including all-female and all-black casts. And later, China ramps up the pressure on U.S. chip makers as it kicks off its annual CEO forum. It's Monday, March the 25th, 2024. You're watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Worldwide Exchange. Thank you so much for being here with us. Let's get you ready for the trading day ahead. We kick off this hour with a check of U.S. stock futures with the Dow and the S&P 500 coming off their best weekly gains since December. Take a look at futures right now. You can see they are in the red across the board. Looks like the Dow would open up about 50 points lower. The S&P and the Nasdaq firmly in negative territory. So ahead of the open, we're going to show you some of the laggards on the S&P, at least in the pre-market right now. Taking a look right now, we are, again, Dow down about 50 points. The laggards, Intel right at the top of the list. We'll be talking much more about chip makers later in the show, down 2.5%, followed by another chip maker, AMD, down almost 2%. United Airlines as well. Got some news about them as well coming up later in the show. All right, so we can see right now the markets, they're headed for a lower open this morning, but that is not stopping the imagination at Goldman Sachs. The bank sticking with its 5,200 S&P 500 price target for the year, but also detailing a new scenario. So take a look. Goldman sees a possibility for mega cap tech leading the index up another 15% to 6,000 by the end of the year. It's something we're going to talk much more about throughout the hour. We're also checking the bond market as investors brace for the latest PCE inflation read later this week. Taking a look, you see the benchmark right now at 4.21. That's about where it finished last week as well. And we also want to pay attention to the energy market, specifically oil. Taking a look right now, we see WTI crude above 81 bucks a barrel, up over 0.5%. Brent crude pretty close to 86 bucks a barrel, also up 0.5%. And we got to pay attention to what else? Bitcoin. We continue to follow its rise, its ups and its downs. Remember, it trades around the clock. Right now, we're seeing Bitcoin basically at 67,000 this morning, up 1.75%, well off of its all-time high that it hit in recent days, but for the month of March, up almost 30%. All right, that's our morning money check. Now we want to see how Europe is shaping up as this trading day gets underway. Erbil Agumide is in our London newsroom with the early action. Bit of a muted start over there in Europe.
Yes, certainly is, Frank. Well, where's the time gone, right? We're in the final week then of the first quarter of the year. Can you believe it? A mixed picture thus far is what we're getting out of this European trading picture then thus far. Not many moves. And even that Goldman Sachs report pointing out to some gains that they're expecting to see then out of the European market as well. So some mega bull cases as well, the overall market that is anticipated. But that wasn't enough to spur the market forward thus far in this early market picture. Of course, we have only been open for around an hour or so here in Europe. Overall, these are the sectors pushing things higher. BMW's actually moved quite significantly. So that means that the autos at the top of the pops then today, around 0.5% to the good then for the auto sector thus far. Oil and gas following suit then on the back of that energy uptick that you've been speaking about as well, Frank. So 0.4% higher there. You do have technology stocks managing to gain as well quite significantly, around 0.1% higher there. You are seeing consistent gains as well across this month. In fact, you're seeing the likes of the DAX as well managed to get up to their best figures as well for this year. Household goods, though, are the ones that are the laggard today, going down 0.75% in this early market picture. Of course, inflation data and UK GDP numbers all anticipated this week, Frank.
All right, Erbile, thank you very much. Erbile Agumide, live in our London newsroom. All right, turn our attention back to the markets with stocks coming off their best week of the year. Investors are looking for insight into whether the markets can continue powering higher. So a new report focused on high net worth investors finds the U.S. is still the most attractive region for investment, even with major indices trading near all-time highs, along with concerns about inflation and a consumer spending slowdown. The Global Wealth Investment Council is made up of private wealth money managers from a number of top banks, including UBS, Morgan Stanley, Nomura, and the Bank of Singapore, along with others. The group was put together by alternative investment firm KKR and chaired by its chief investment strategist. A model portfolio by the council is made up of 40% equities, 30% bonds, and 30% alternatives. The panel's consensus view is globally, we are entering a time of higher inflation and slower economic growth.
We believe public equity returns will come down from, let's say, 8 to 9% over the past 5 years to closer to 5 to 6%. In addition, we expect higher volatility, higher inflation volatility. So just relying on two asset classes, stocks and bonds, to achieve your goals is really going to be a challenge. The area where you'd have the highest allocation would be in private equity. Over time, the illiquidity premium that private equity has offered versus public equities has been around 430 basis points. We expect going forward for that illiquidity premium to increase given that new regime.
And private equity for income generation, infrastructure for downside protection, and real estate are the council's top choices in alternatives. Looking at the macro picture, KKR sees only two rate cuts this year. The council also has the U.S. achieving a soft landing and rates on the 10-year staying above 4% beyond 2025. But opinions are split on the dollar, which is seen as a possible threat to the recent rally due to its rise this year. So far, up 3%. Half the council believes it will pair those gains. The other half see the dollar moving even higher. Let's talk more about where investors should put their money to work with Mark Avalone, president of Potomac Wealth Advisors. Mark, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning.
All right. So we've got to remember last week we saw the S&P, the Nasdaq hit new records. I want to focus on the dollar for just a minute, something we haven't talked a lot about here on the show. Are you worried about the dollar's rise again, up about 3% year to date?
No, we're actually not, because it was only a few months ago that we were talking about inflation being public enemy number one. And we think that the movement in the dollar only helps Jerome Powell with his efforts to tame inflation. So sure, for our international allocations, it's a bit of a drag. But overall, we think that this is a positive on the inflation front.
All right. You think it's a positive on the inflation front. I want to get your take on the markets. Just earlier in the show, we hit on a new note from Goldman. They basically see 5,200. They're keeping that their price target. But there's a scenario where they see mega cap tech powering the markets to 6,000. Agree or disagree with that take?
Well, I don't know about the exact number, but we're not abandoning technology. I think it's just way too important everywhere in the economy. It's not just tech companies right now. If you're not a tech-enabled company, you're likely losing ground to competitors. So we think this continued ingenuity, development, and innovation coming out of Silicon Valley and other places is here to stay. It's a perma-trend. We don't think it's low valuation, of course, so you want to be careful where you go. But we think that you have to be in technology if you're looking into the future.
All right. So you're all about technology. You agree, at least in the sentiment with the Goldman Sachs. No, you don't see, you know, you don't know if it's a 6,000 S&P, year end number or not, but you agree with the overall thesis. At the same time, though, you're one of the people that's come on the show really bullish on small caps. I want to show you a chart. Small caps underperforming the S&P equal weight, the S&P. Everybody continues to be really bullish on it. What is the situation that you see that's going to move them higher? Because they, for some of the estimates that people have out there, they would have to move significantly higher to really achieve.
Well, we go back to valuation matters. And if you look at some other charts, which I could show you, if you buy stocks at high premiums, the subsequent returns are muted relative to when you buy them on an inexpensive basis. And I know we've been saying that about some other trades, and it hasn't really panned out. But I think at this point, small caps, there's a lot of activity in the biotech sector, which is in small cap. There's some technology companies in small cap. We're also looking for catalysts of M&A in small cap. We think the FTC is really clamped down on mergers, but these are going to fly a little below the radar. And we think that eventually, when the Fed lowers rates, and we do think they're going to slightly lower this year and rates will eventually come down, small caps will be poised. And the valuation that you can pay for a small and mid cap portfolio is far more attractive than a large cap growth portfolio.
All right, a lot of people looking for a big rise in small caps. Again, back to that chart we show, month to date, small caps continue to underperform, even as we've seen a broadening of the market, something we'll have to watch. Mark Avalone, always great to see you. Thank you very much.
Good to be here.
For much more on what's driving the markets and the trading day ahead, head over to CNBC Pro at cnbc.com/pro for exclusive insights and analysis. All right, time now for a check of some of this morning's top corporate stories. Silvana Hanau is here with those. Silvana, good Monday morning to you.
Hey, Frank, good Monday morning to you. Frank, Boeing's largest union is reportedly seeking a board seat at the troubled plane maker. Now, according to the Financial Times, the International Association of Machinists, District 751, which represents 32,000 workers at Boeing plants across Washington state, is looking to have a bigger voice at the company. The union just began contract talks with Boeing earlier this month. It's first in 16 years. Now, in a statement to Reuters, Boeing says it is reviewing the union's proposals and plans to discuss them at the bargaining table. Meanwhile, Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic, who is also a voting member on the FOMC, says he is now projecting just one interest rate cut this year, adding it will likely happen later than previously expected. Bostic had been guiding towards two cuts this year, with the first occurring this summer. Bostic telling reporters it will be a close call, and he will have to see how the data comes in over the next several weeks. And Disney responding to the latest criticism from activist investor Nelson Peltz, who recently blasted the company for making movies dominated by female and black actors, highlighting The Marvels and Black Panther, saying Disney's films have become too focused on delivering a message and not enough on quality storytelling. In a statement, Disney says Peltz's perspective is evidence. He shouldn't be allowed on Disney's board or anywhere near a creatively driven company, Frank.
All right, Silvana, thank you very much. We'll see you just a bit later in the show. All right, we have a lot more to come here on Worldwide Exchange, including the one word that investors have to know today. But first, Beijing is ramping up the pressure on U.S. chip makers as it hosts a parade of CEOs that are trying to attract business to China. Plus, why big stock sales from big tech CEOs have some thinking. Wall Street's record run, it may be topping out. And later, speaking of tech, a closer look at what could be the chip sector's best quarter in more than 20 years. The names that could still be set for a breakout and some others that may have run up too far, too fast. We have a very busy hour still ahead when Worldwide Exchange returns. Stay with us.
What does it mean to be rich? Is it having more stories to share or time to give? Is it being able to keep your loved ones close or travel somewhere far away? At Edward Jones, we believe the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Your dedicated financial advisor will take a comprehensive approach to your financial strategy to help support what truly matters to you. EdwardJones.com/findyourrich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Imagine you're on a John Deere mower with a smooth ride, intuitive controls, and attachments for every season. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. We're following a developing story. China is reportedly introducing new guidelines to phase out U.S.-made microchips from Intel and AMD from government and personal computers and servers. According to the Financial Times, the guidance also looks to push out Microsoft's Windows in favor of other homegrown options. This is Beijing kicks off a major forum welcoming roughly 100 CEOs from across the globe as China looks to shore up foreign investments. The event coming as leaders there grapple with shaky economic recovery and continued geopolitical tensions. Eunice Yun joins us now from Beijing with much more on the story. Eunice, what's the latest?
Well, Frank, as one delegate told me at the conference, the Americans are not hiding anymore. Unlike last year, when an alleged spy balloon had spiked U.S.-China tensions, the mood at this year's Beijing-backed China Development Forum was much more upbeat. Over 30 American CEOs took part, with U.S. companies making up one of the biggest delegations. Apple, Micron, Qualcomm, Starbucks, AMD all showed up. Now, on the Chinese side, the premier delivered the keynote speech. This was a first for the conference. The premier did downplay the economic problems, saying that they weren't as grave as some imagined. And he also said that China was, quote, carefully studying long-held concerns of U.S. companies. So that included, he said, market access, cross-border data flows. Delegates told me that talk of a meeting among CEOs with President Xi Jinping was set to take place later in the week on Wednesday. Sources said that this group would be a small elite group. They said about five speakers were going to take part. Still, details are being worked out. Now, despite the improved mood, the delegates did say that the messaging is still mixed from Beijing. The access to the event was very, very tight. American scholars who've been openly critical of China were also barred from some of the panels. And even though in some respects it would be good to meet President Xi, there were a lot of folks who were concerned that it really meant that President Xi is going to be the one making all of the decisions, because traditionally the premier has met these CEOs at this conference.
So, Eunice, we're going to talk more about this with our next guest, but it seems like a bit of mixed messaging. China trying to promote foreign direct investment at the same time putting up some restrictions. What are you hearing there about that?
Well, I think the report that you just mentioned from the Financial Times really indicates sort of the conflicting messaging that's going on. On the one hand, we were at this conference where all these American CEOs are being welcomed by the premier. On the other hand, this government procurement list, which was released in December, and now increasingly looks as though it's being implemented. So one could say that on the one hand, one positive thing is that it's not directly aimed at Intel, AMD, or Microsoft, but it does mean that only domestic brands will be used for government tech.
Yeah, we're looking at shares of Intel, AMD, and Microsoft right now, all of them in the red. Intel and AMD down more than 2%. Eunice Yun, always great to see you. Great reporting as always. Thank you. For more on China's push to attract foreign business investments, let's bring in Shahzad Kazi, Chief Operating Officer at the China Beige Book. Shahzad, good morning. Great to see you as always.
Good morning.
All right, I'm going to ask you the same question. I mean, what's going on with some of this mixed messaging? China welcoming foreign direct investment, or at least seemingly welcoming foreign direct investment, at the same time putting up restrictions on U.S. businesses. How should investors view this?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, this is the national security view ascendant in Beijing right now. That is driving everything. In sectors where they think reliance on American firms, software, hardware, anything you talk about, is going to become a national security threat, they want American companies out, extricated, gone. Where, of course, they need American technology and information and access to the IP in order to ultimately eventually become lead players in those sectors themselves, they're going to welcome foreign investment. That is the paradigm or the framework, really, that investors need to fully comprehend and move forward on the basis of.
You know, that's a really interesting dynamic. So your word extricating, they want the U.S. businesses out. But at the same time, we just saw Tim Cook on that panel just there when Eunice was talking. And also he was in China opening up a new Apple store. So how do you explain that? One of the big industries in China that they seemingly were trying to protect was the mobile phone business, Huawei in particular, but still welcoming a Tim Cook, still opening up new stores. I mean, explain just, it seems like almost a bipolar view of U.S. business.
Well, you know, Apple, as far as its finished products, its iPhones is concerned, is of course having a very tough time in China, given the local competition and the fact that local companies have gotten tremendous amount of state subsidies and other support from Beijing. But at the same time, Apple is very important to China because it, you know, has factories in China. And China, of course, is very important to Apple itself, given that supply chain integration that we're talking about. So that makes sense. I think it goes back to the same concept that I just described here, where China has an advantage, whether it's in terms of jobs or access to technology, retaining a critical position in the supply chain. It certainly wants those firms there. Apple's not the only one. Look at pharmaceuticals. They want more American pharmaceutical investment and presence in China rather than less. Big national security risk from America, of course.
Okay. New report out that China's foreign direct investment, I should say, fell about 20% last year, down to $30 billion. I'm going to show you a number and show the audience as well. Mexico, on the other hand, saw $36 billion in foreign direct investment, pretty much rising about 1% year over year. But still, as you can see, a very strong number. Is it possibly just things have shifted? U.S. companies especially want their supply chains that you just mentioned closer to home. And the trend is going to just be lower no matter what China does when it comes to that foreign investment.
Yeah, look, I think China's been one of the biggest beneficiaries, I think, of this concept of nearshoring, of friendshoring that we're trying to promote here in America. Because also what you're seeing, by the way, is a lot of Chinese companies partnering up with plants in Mexico and opening up plants in Mexico in order to continue supplying the American market, but away from China so that they can evade the tariffs and the trade sanctions and so forth. So that's a trend that may very well continue. But I think the top line numbers probably hide the fact that ultimately, again, it is Chinese companies who are at least in part benefiting or, from this shift.
Yeah, I spent some time in Mexico seeing there were a number of Chinese companies down there as well. Shahad Kazi, thank you very much. Good to see you as always.
See ya.
All right, ahead here on Worldwide Exchange, the China EV price war hits another major automaker looking to keep pace in that ultra competitive market. Stay with us.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools. I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Quick look at the futures right now. Looks like the Dow would open just about 50 points lower. The S&P and the NASDAQ fractionally lower as well. We want to look at some of the laggards in the pre-market on the NASDAQ 100. Top of the list, Intel. We're just talking about some of the pressure that stock's under due to restrictions in China, down more than 2.5%. AMD, similar story. Monster Beverage, the third biggest laggard, I suppose you would say, down more than 1% as well. All right, let's get a check on more of this morning's headlines. NBC's Francis Rivera in New York with the very latest. Francis, good morning.
Good Monday morning to you, Frank. We begin with an important deadline for Donald Trump. The former president must post a bond today of nearly $500 million as he tries to appeal the massive judgment for financial fraud. The New York Attorney General could begin seizing some of Trump's most iconic properties if he is unable to come up with the money in time. Trump has posted on social media that he has nearly $500 million in cash. He has denied any wrongdoing and is calling this case election interference. Turning to Russia, where four men have been charged over the mass shooting at a concert hall in Moscow Friday. In photographs of their court appearances published by the AP, all four show signs of ill treatment. One of them appeared to be barely conscious. Two of the suspects admitted their guilt, according to the court itself. At least 137 people are confirmed dead as of Monday morning. Dozens are still missing. All eyes will be on baseball superstar today, LA Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani, who's expected to address the media later today. It will be the two-way player's first time speaking to the press since his interpreter, Ippei Matsuhara, was fired by the team over gambling and theft allegations last week. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts said that Ohtani made the decision to speak, and he expects it will provide more clarity into the situation. The MLB also launched an investigation into the matter over the weekend, but with that clarity, I'm sure, Frank, comes even more questions as they delve even deeper to see what exactly went on here. Frank?
Yeah, I mean, I would expect an in-depth investigation when it comes to gambling and sports. There's no room for any lack of clarity, we should say. Francis, great to see you. Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
All right, coming up, the growing list of tech billionaires who may be thinking that the stock's record run, it may be topping out. And as CNBC celebrates Women's Heritage Month, we are sharing the stories of some of our newly named CNBC Changemakers, an annual list of 50 women who are innovating and transforming business. As we had to break, here is Hello Heart co-founder Mayan Cohen.
Female CEOs are about 10% of CEOs. And in the startup space, we actually get less than 2% of dollars from VC funding. And we have to celebrate women. Women tend to actually be more behind the scenes. We prefer to focus on building companies than to be in the spotlight. But little girls won't be able to know that they can become CEOs and founders and executives and anything else that they want to be unless they see us and they see what they could become.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. I'm Frank Holland. Let's get you ready for the trading day ahead. We pick up the half an hour with a check of U.S. stock futures with the Dow and the S&P 500 coming off their best weekly gain of the year. Take a look at futures, however, seeing like they're under a bit of pressure. The Dow right now looking like it would open 60 points lower. The S&P and the NASDAQ also in the red. This morning, we're also looking at the chip sector. Shares of Intel and AMD falling on an FT report that China's regulators are looking to phase out chips, U.S.-made chips, from government PCs and servers. The FT adds the new guidelines would also curb Microsoft's Windows operating system. And taking a look at some of the stocks that could be impacted, we're seeing the chip makers, Intel and AMD, down more than 2%, Microsoft down just about 0.5% in the pre-market. We're also looking at some other chip makers in that space. NVIDIA, as you can see, strongly in the green in the pre-market, up almost 1%, but kind of a mixed performance when you look at the rest of the sector. We'll be talking much more about chips in just a moment. We're also checking the bond market this morning as investors brace for the latest PCE inflation read later this week. Taking a look at the benchmark right now at 4.22%, pretty much holding steady from the level that we saw it end at last week. And also, we want to take a look at the, actually, we're not taking a look at the oil market, but oil holding above 81 bucks a barrel, at least when it comes to WTI. Okay, key to Wall Street's record run so far in 2024 has been none other than tech and the II trade driven primarily by chip stocks. Taking a look at the VanEck Semiconductor ETF, the SMH up more than 30% so far this year and on track for its best quarterly gain since the fourth quarter of 2001, when it shot up more than 41%. Naturally, NVIDIA is leading that ETF, up 90% this year and on pace for its best quarter since 2001, when it more than doubled. But a few other names are riding impressive rallies all of their own, like Taiwan Semi, up 36% this year, ASML Holdings, Micron, and Applied, all up just about 30%. With the haves come a handful of have-nots that have so far missed out on the AI trade. We're talking about Intel, down nearly 15% this year, along with STM Microelectronics out of Germany, ON Semiconductor, Skyworks Solutions, and Universal Display Corporation. Joining me now with a closer look at some names that may have come too far too fast and others that could be due for a bit of a breakout higher is James Chacmok, partner and portfolio manager at Clockwise Capital. James, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning, Frank.
All right, so we're talking about the SMH ETF, the chip ETF, possibly on track for its best quarter since 2001. NVIDIA is about 25% of that ETF. Two other AI-focused names in there. We're talking AMD and Taiwan Semi. They ran out about 40% of this ETF, again, tied to the AI trade. Is that the sole thing pushing this ETF higher, or are there other factors that are tailwinds?
Yeah, I mean, NVIDIA was a huge part of it, just as you mentioned, just given how much it constitutes of the ETF. And I think for the first part of this year and as well as last year, you know, we had a rising tide lifts all boats situation. We could have bought SMH and done super, super well. I mean, it's up 30% this year, you know, versus about triple the S&P. So it was a good trade. I think going forward, though, you know, you're going to, just as you pointed out with the winners and losers just now, you know, you're going to see that not all semis are created equal. And I think what's really going to be the separation is which companies are first and foremost helping with the data center buildouts and which chips are demand with respect to the data center buildouts, where the CapEx is being spent from all these hyperscalers, and which ones will come later. And I think that will continue to bifurcate, where you have the NVIDIA's continue to climb higher and like the ON Semiconductor, which you mentioned, you know, drag a bit.
All right. So you laughed a little bit when I said NVIDIA, because it sounds like you're saying there's just a lot more to talk about. You mentioned bifurcation, basically two different stories when it comes to here. AI is one story. It sounds like data center is the other story. What chips have potential upside tied to that data center story?
I think you continue to play what's working. You know, on the larger side, we like the NVIDIA, Broadcom, TSM. You know, we own all of them. But I think when you think of chips, I think it's not helpful to think of it just limited to chips. It's really, as you mentioned, the data center build out. Which companies are helping build these data centers? So we also like companies like NVT, which helps on the power side. Companies like VRT, which helps on the cooling side. You know, these companies, any of the companies that are going to help provide the services and the supplies and the products to the CapEx spenders, and I think will continue to prosper. So, you know, we like all those trades, but we're staying away from the companies that are more limited to the PC cycle.
All right. Talk to me about some of the legacy names in the chip space. I'm talking about an Intel, even a Texas Instruments. I'm looking at it only up about 2% year to date. Do they have an opportunity to get in one of these stories that you're talking about, either the data center side or the AI trade?
Later. I think for now, they're going to be continue to be more cyclical, being reliant on the upgrade of the PC cycle, which, you know, gets further and further pushed out. You know, it's supposed to be a 24 phenomenon. Now it's late 24. Now it's at 25. You know, it just keeps getting pushed out. AMD, despite being at the center of the AI trade, you know, has a big PC exposure. So, you know, that one's getting pushed out too. And now add on China today, as you mentioned.
All right. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So it's really about, you know, a split with anybody with exposure to the PC cycle. I think you got to take a pause.
Okay. There's some other names you say you're being quote unquote patient with, like Marvell is one of those names. So when we're talking patience, what's the horizon to stay patient? I think a lot of investors aren't feeling very patient right now when we're seeing the indexes hit new highs. We're seeing a broadening out of the market. So what names are worth the patience?
I think you had to continue to play and work with what's been working to date. There's a reason why NVIDIA is doing so well. It's trading at 30, 35 times earnings, forward earnings, and, you know, has a significant degree of optionality to beat on revenue. The problem is the companies like the Marvells, you know, which we owned for a brief amount of time and sold out of because we were just too early on it, is that they don't have the upside potential to beat estimates. And you've got to be able to maintain that momentum of those estimates climbing higher. And it's too expensive for that degree of uncertainty as to how high estimates will come, because their products are simply just not in demand. You got to build the stuff out, and then you add on the layers to it where Marvell and all those other ones kick in.
So one thing we have to talk to you about, some news today, possible restrictions on U.S.-made chips in China. Is that a big deal, not only for this ETF, but for the sector overall?
Yeah, it's a big deal. Anytime China, you know, cuts you off in some way, shape, or form, you know, it could hurt you. You know, you have any company with exposure to China is already operating with uncertainty. So now, you know, we don't know what the revenue impact is going to be. You know, I still got to look into it. But at the end of the day, what these things do is not so much, you know, hurt the projection horizon and the revenue implications, but more so, does it temper the multiple and damp down that multiple, and you don't want to see, you know, high multiple stocks get hurt in that way. So that which can just add to volatility. So we try to stay away from China exposure.
Yeah, a lot of questions about that. I mean, NVIDIA went out their way to recently say that China is only single digits of their revenue. So I think there's a lot of questions about the overall impact of possible China restrictions. I want to bounce something else off of you. Sticking with tech still, though. New signals from some sector insiders of a possible top to the market, according to new data from Verity, which tracks insider trading disclosures. The ratio of corporate insider selling to insider buying is at the highest level in 3 years. And according to Verity, a big driver of that's come from tech executives selling their own stock, including Palantir's Peter Thiel, who sold $175 million worth of stock last month, his biggest sale since February of 2021. Amazon's Andy Jassy's also on this list. He sold $21 million worth of Amazon stock this year, compared to $23.6 million total in 2022 and 2023 combined. And last but not least, this one's gotten a lot of headlines. Mark Zuckerberg, who's always been a consistent seller, has really ramped up the pace of sales this year, selling $135 million in Meta stock last month, his first sale of that magnitude since November of 2021. A lot of people have been talking about that one. What's your take on these insiders selling?
Well, you don't really like to see it,
right?
You know, because what kind of signal does that apply if the founder isn't as committed as, you know, our shareholders alongside of them? But that being said, you got to look at it on a percentage basis of their overall, you know, net worth within the firm. You know, Bezos, you know, sold $1 billion or $2 billion a month or two ago, and that was only like 1 or 2% of his total net worth within the Amazon shares. So I think it's the same for all those ones you mentioned. At least I know for Zuckerberg. So with that in mind, you got to bring context into it, not just look at the absolute number.
Right. There is some context there. I mean, also, I mean, just very quickly, if you're an investor yourself, can you blame some of these founders and some of these CEOs from taking a little profit?
No, I can't. I mean, they need to build bigger homes in better locations. So,
I think we all like bigger homes. James Schachmach, good to see you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Time now for a check on some of this morning's top corporate stories. Silvana Hanau is back with those. Silvana, good morning once again.
Hey, Frank, good morning again. President Biden signing off on that $1.2 trillion spending package to fund the government until October. The president doing so just hours after the Senate approved the measure in the early hours of Saturday morning. Biden's signature ends a months-long fight for lawmakers trying to secure a budget resolution. The FAA says it's increasing oversight of United Airlines to make sure it's complying with safety regulations following a series of incidents involving the carrier's planes. Now, no word yet from United on the matter. Meanwhile, reports adding that part of the FAA's plan could involve not giving approval to let customers on United's new planes or approving new routes. And United Health's Change Healthcare Unit is beginning to process its medical claims backlog after software services were disrupted last month by a cyber attack. United says that so far it's processed at least $2.5 billion of the $14 billion in total claims. The company continues to work to fully restore Change's services, with full restoration likely happening in the next 2 weeks, Frank.
Silvana, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, the bumpy road for the EV space leading to a new pessimistic call around Tesla. First, though, we got your top trending stories. Even Joe Rogan can't keep artists away from Spotify. Joni Mitchell returning to the platform after leaving 2 years ago as a protest against vaccine-related misinformation from Rogan. This after Neil Young returned to the platform last month despite what he calls low-res sound quality. First it was Hollywood, now it's your video game council. Game voice actors looking to strike as they battle AI for their jobs. Companies at risk include Microsoft's Activision, Disney, Electronic Arts, and Take-Two Interactive. And Whistle Pig Whiskey teaming up with the Super Troopers comedy group on a limited edition barrel-aged maple syrup. The company says the syrup's at home on waffles or in an old-fashioned. Worldwide Exchange coming up after this. Wasn't expecting that. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Time now for your morning call sheet. We start with Citi raising its price target on Netflix from $555 to $660 per share. Citi saying it expects the streaming giant to continue to see healthy subscriber growth thanks to its ad tier and its password crackdown. Mizuho downgrading its rating on Tesla, moving it to neutral. It says while Tesla remains the global leader of the EV space, near-term EV demand and tightening liquidity are creating challenges into next year. And Barclays raising its rating and price target on Disney, moving it to overweight and $135 per share. Barclays saying Disney's next phase of earnings stabilization may be more impactful as a number of turnaround elements potentially yield results. Time now for your global briefing. We start with Chinese-based Didi reporting a 55% increase in revenue ahead of its planned Hong Kong IPO this year. The results potentially marking a comeback from 2021 when the vehicle for hire platform was forced to delist from the New York Stock Exchange following a probe into its data handling. Didi has lost significant market share in recent years from competitors like Meituan. Also in China, regulators reportedly looking to phase out Intel and AMD chips from government PCs and servers. The Financial Times says the new guidelines also aim to curb Microsoft's Windows operating system and foreign database software in favor of domestic options. And in Japan, Nissan is targeting an additional 1 million vehicle sales in the next 3 years and a 30% reduction in EV production costs by 2030. The automaker also says it's launching 30 new models by 2026, including 16 electric vehicles, as it battles what it calls extreme market volatility and looks to drive value and competitiveness. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, the one word that every investor needs to know today, plus playing the AI trade, the stocks our next guest is putting money to work in and the ones he's scaling back on. And if you haven't already, follow our podcast. If you miss Worldwide Exchange, check us out on Apple, Spotify, or other podcast apps. Much more Worldwide Exchange coming up after this. Welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Time now for your WEX wrap-up. We start with Boeing's largest union reportedly seeking a board seat at the plane maker. In a statement to Reuters, Boeing says it's reviewing the union's proposals and plans to discuss them at the bargaining table. Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic now projecting just one interest rate cut this year. That's down from his prior forecast of two cuts. Bostic adds the cut will likely happen later than previously expected. Disney responding to activist investor Peltz, who recently called out the company for prioritizing social messaging over quality storytelling. In a statement, Disney says Peltz's perspective shows he should not be allowed on the board or anywhere near a creatively driven company. An AI startup, Anthropic, is rolling out investments from Saudi Arabia as more bankers look to back the company. Sources telling CNBC Anthropic is avoiding the Saudis due to national security concerns. All right, here's the watch and the shortened trading week ahead. On the economic front, several data points on housing, including new home sales, home prices, and pending home sales. We also get durable goods and real GDP, earnings on tap from Walgreens, Boots Alliance, Carnival Cruise, and GameStop. And the big event of this week, core PCE, it's on Friday. However, markets will be closed that day for Good Friday. All right, the Dow and the S&P coming off their best week so far this year, with the Nasdaq hovering near a fresh all-time high. Futures right now, as you can see, they're in the red. Looks like the Dow would open 65 points lower. Goldman Sachs, however, sticking with their year-end S&P target of 5,200, though suggesting megacap tech could actually bring the index 15% higher. They say valuations may continue to expand, which could lead the S&P to 6,000 with a P.E. ratio of 23. The bank adds, while AI optimism appears high, megacap tech stocks are still far from bubble territory. Let's talk more about this in the broader markets with Jeff Kilburg, CEO and founder of KKM Financial. He's also a CNBC contributor. Jeff, good morning. Really good to see you.
Good morning, Frank. How are you, pal?
All right. So I want to get your take on that Goldman Sachs report. Agree with them that there's a possibility for the S&P to hit 6,000 this year on the back of megacap tech?
I think that's part of the euphoria that we're talking about. And no bang on any of the analysts, but all these analysts, after this near 10% move higher in the S&P 500 year to date, are reconfiguring their price targets. As money managers and asset managers like myself, we don't move our price targets. So 5,300 has been a price target, and we're almost there. So I think at this moment in time, Frank, I've seen a lot of people move their price target. That makes me a little unsettled, and that seemed to be part of the cash narrative on the sideline chasing this market higher.
All right, so you're feeling just a little bit unsettled right now. I want to get a sense of how you see the trading day ahead. What's your WEX word of the day?
Well, my WEX word of the day is dubious. And as you know, that Latin origin dubious means to be doubtful and to question. And where I'm questioning the market, it's not the AI theme. It's not the move higher. It's not this parabolic melt up. I am questioning the Fed. And I think Fed President Bostic is going to talk about this potential rate cut this year of just one. That's where I'm questioning. And the word of the day, dubious, really relates to the fact that I don't think the Fed can pull off three rate cuts in 2024 when we see the inflation target that they are targeting of 2% not being achieved.
So I want to be clear. Is the idea that we might only get one rate cut, the Bostic forecast right there, is that creating some doubts in your mind about the future path of the market?
I think a lot of money managers out there are embracing the Bostic view, but the lens that the market is currently looking through is that we're still going to get three rate cuts. But it's very interesting, and there's some conflicting components out there with the VIX at the 12-13 level, the 10-year note still about 4.25. It seems like the market is hopeful that we're going to get three rate cuts, but it doesn't seem like that rubber may meet the road. And that's where you could see a potential pullback, a healthy pullback, Frank, because it's been 100 days since the S&P 500 has not had a 2% pullback. So I think it'd be very healthy to see it come back and fill down to 49.50 in the S&P 500. And I think you'll see a lot of the cash on the sideline buy that shallow pullback.
All right. I want to get some of your moves you're making right now. These are moves that you advise other people to make today. You're actually reducing in mega cap tech right now. Two chip makers we've been talking quite a bit about, NVIDIA and AMD, and also in Meta. Why reduce now?
I think you have to look at the high flyers, and we've been long all these names. And in addition, we've been long SOX, S-O-X-X. That's the ETF that gives you exposure to the semiconductors. But if you look at SOX in itself, 25% of that portfolio is exposed to these top three names, NVIDIA, Broadcom, and AMD. So we want to reduce exposure. We still want to be long this AI theme. We're not walking away from the AI theme for 2024, but you have to look at some of the laggards. And if you look at IBM, if you look at Intel, and last but not least, Tesla. Kathy Wood talked about this being the best play for AI. I agree with that. So all we're doing here is reducing exposure to some of our high-flying winners and buying some of the laggards. That makes sense at this moment in time to reposition portfolios. That's how you have the ability to capture a potential pullback or some profit taking in those high flying names.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the laggards that you're adding. IBM, Intel, and Tesla. So is this simply you buying them on the dip, or do you have a fundamental reason you're buying? I mean, Tesla's business is under quite a bit of pressure from Chinese EV makers and also just inflation, higher rates.
Well, let's talk about Tesla in specific. It's not a car company. That's my view. That's my perspective. And the data that Elon Musk, one of the most scrutinized companies in the world, has been gathering if we do see self-driving fast forward or any form of acceleration, Tesla's in a position to be the AI leader. But when you look at Intel, which there's a lot of pressure coming out of China not using their chips anymore, I think a lot of it's been priced in. So we own these, all six of these stocks. Well, all we're doing to the laggards is adding to them, and we're allowing ourselves to add to that by reducing the notional exposure to NVIDIA, to Meta, as well as AMD.
All right, Jeff Kilburg, always great to see you. Thank you very much.
Quick look
at futures. We've been talking about all morning long. Futures under a bit of pressure right now. Looks like the Dow would open about 50 points lower. That's going to do it for us. You've been listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. You can always catch us live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.